I'd like you to turn with me tonight, really, to just one verse. We shall refer to a few others, but really to one verse, this famous text, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. My subject tonight is life's first priority. What are you going to do with your life? Some of you have many years ahead of you. What are you going to do with your life? You could do so many things, but what are you going to do? This verse is part of the most famous sermon ever preached. Everybody knows this, the Sermon on the Mount, preached by the best preacher, the perfect preacher. The preacher that used such forceful and yet such kind words, who used such illustrations. He didn't just talk about history. He didn't just talk about the Jews. He spoke directly to the heart. He knew the hearts of all that he spoke to. He knew what life was like. He knew that life is difficult. He knew that there's challenges and joys and sorrows and heartaches. He knew what it was like to be bereaved. He knew what it was like to be ill, to be happy, to be sad. He lived just like we live. He grew up. He was a boy. He knew what it was like to be in a family. He knew what it was like to go to work. All these things gave him such insight. Of course, he was the Son of God, as well as being a human being, but he didn't overly rely upon his divinity. He relied upon his humanity as well, so that he could know what your life and my life is like. And as he spoke with astonishing insight, the people listened, and they were amazed. He seems to know just what my life is like, the problems that I have. Of course he did, because he lived life just like we do. And yet he had such love and compassion. He was holy. He was just, and yet he didn't come and point the finger. He didn't come and scold. He came with kind words, compassionate words, just like the text we have before us tonight. It's an urging, pleading text. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. He doesn't tell us off. He doesn't come and point out our problems and faults. He says, this is the highest priority in life. It's life's first priority. Before you think about anything else, this verse tells us the most important thing. Well, this part of the Sermon on the Mount, it tells us so many things. Many will know if you asked, I'm sure. Even in the street, people would know about the Beatitudes, the blessings. Blessed is the man, the woman, the child who is meek. Blessed are those who fear God. Blessed, supremely happy. If you want to know in life what's right and what's good and what will make you deeply satisfied within your inner heart, the Lord Jesus teaches 8. Sometimes people say 9, even 10 Beatitudes. Blessed, supremely happy are the people that have turned to God and they spend their lives doing the things that please God. Supremely happy. Of course, that's what the Lord Jesus uniquely teaches. He's the only one that can know how we can be deeply satisfied in life. Strip back life, take all the tinsel away, all the ornaments, All the things that go on the mantelpiece, take them away. What's left in life? Are you satisfied? Are you blessed? Are you supremely happy? Or have you not yet found what it is in life that's the highest, highest priority? Of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus teaches us how to pray. Is there anyone here tonight that finds prayer easy? Is there anyone here that was born knowing how to pray? Of course not. We all find prayer hard because Satan doesn't want us to pray. Satan doesn't want us to talk to our Heavenly Father. And so the Lord Jesus, on this sermon, he went up a mountain. He took away all the distractions. And I like to think he was standing above the people with thousands around him, listening to his words. Never man spake like this man. Of course, no one else can teach us how to pray except the one that we pray to in his name for his sake. This is what he said. He said, when you pray, say this, Our Father, which art in heaven. Remember that your Father is so much higher and so much holier than you are. And when you pray, you show him respect. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy is God's name. Nothing else is holy. Only God is holy. And when we pray to him, we remember that he is a holy, holy, holy God. Therefore, when we come before him, as it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, God is in heaven, we are on earth, so let our words be few. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then he says an interesting term, thy kingdom come. What does that mean? The kingdom, God's kingdom. This world is not everything. This world, one day it will be folded up like a garment. It will be like a light that's turned off. This earth as we know it will be destroyed. And there will be a new heavens and a new earth where God is, where there's no sin, no death, no sorrow, no shame, no sadness, no bereavement, no mourning, because God is there. Thy kingdom come. Do you know about God's kingdom? Do you know about the place where God dwells, where there's no darkness, no shadows, no death, no sickness, no COVID? Because God is there. That's God's kingdom. When the Lord Jesus taught us to pray to our Father who is holy, he said, pray for God's kingdom to come. What does that mean? God's kingdom to come into my life. Have you asked for God's kingdom to come? Have you prayed to him and said, bring God's kingdom to me? I come to God. May I come to God's kingdom, and may God's kingdom come to me. Well, he goes on in that prayer before we come to our text, and he pinpoints the problem. God's kingdom cannot come because I'm a sinner. I'm a debtor. Forgive us our debts. You can't be forgiven your sin unless you're willing to forgive others. Are you willing to forgive others? Somebody asks for your forgiveness. Do you give it? Do you wait day after day, unwilling to forgive? Imagine if we went to God and we asked him to forgive us our sin, and he said, no, no, you are too sinful. But he doesn't say that. He says, all who are weary and heavy laden with sin, come unto me and I will give you rest. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do you know, if you're not willing to forgive 70 times 70 times 70, it's an illustration, you will not be forgiven by God, and you will bear your sin. Have you been forgiven your sin? You need a change of heart, God is saying. In order to be forgiven, you need to forgive. Well, let's come down to our text tonight. Verse 33, why have I spoken about the kingdom of God? Because it mentions it here again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Before we come to that, there's a phrase that repeats itself again and again. It's mentioned five times in this passage. Take no thought. This verse that we come to is really about, what do you think about in life? What do you focus on? What's your priority? Well, we have checklists, don't we? Tomorrow morning, I've got to do this, 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 and this. And really, this verse is saying, rip up your checklist. When it comes to your soul, you don't need a checklist, because there's only one thing on it. There's only one priority, and that's the kingdom of God. He says in verse 25, the Lord Jesus speaking, take no thought for your life. Don't bother yourself about your life. The words take no thought could be translated, don't worry about. Many people are anxious. They're fearful. We live in a day of fear and anxiety. Some people live with it. It's the way they are. They're naturally fearful people. They have inside them worry, worry, worry. And they have to turn to God's word that tells us, do not be anxious. Do not be fearful for your life. Verse 27, take no thought about how tall you are. If you're 5'3", don't worry. By worrying and being anxious, you can't become 5'5", unless you're still growing, children. Take no thought, verse 28, for your clothing, for your wardrobe. Somebody was telling me recently, their wardrobe of their wife had so little in it, it was almost like somebody going on holiday and opening their suitcase, and all that they had was what they take on holiday. They didn't feel the need for anything else. Take no thought for your clothing. Even your heavenly Father clothes the lilies of the field. Verse 31, take no thought for what you're going to eat. What's for dinner tonight? Don't worry. Yes, you have to get something. You have to eat, but don't be anxious. God will provide. God cares about clothing. He cares about food and he'll provide. Verse 34, take no thought, don't be anxious for tomorrow. The evil tomorrow is sufficient for tomorrow. The sin that you will do tomorrow is enough. Think about today's sin before you get to tomorrow. Don't be anxious. That's the backdrop to this text. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about all these things. What do we worry about? The weather. Is it going to rain? The farmer says, oh, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I can't bring the potatoes in. I hope it rains tomorrow. Otherwise, the seed won't grow. Don't worry. You don't control the clouds. The washing, piling up. Don't worry about the washing and the ironing. Don't worry about the football scores. You can't change the score in the Arsenal match next Saturday. Don't worry. It's only a game. Don't worry about the temperature of your coffee or tea. It's warm. It's liquid. Don't worry whether it's too much milk or it's too strong or too light. These things, they're so trivial. Yet people worry about them. Last Sunday we had a couple visiting. They were here from Scotland. They were telling me that back in March, at the beginning of last year, they'd planned a visit to Australia. Their trip was 4 weeks. Through the man's work, he had a friend who came to Scotland year after year, and he helped him through his work, and they became friends. And the man said, "Come to Australia, you can stay in our house." And so for 2 weeks, they had a lovely holiday. They went and saw sights and places. They went here and there. And then you know what happened. In Australia, it seemed to happen much slower. But the news got worse from China. A few days went by and the airports were closed. It seemed that they would not get home. They had a ticket. They went to the airport and the people there said it's no good. For a whole week they waited and waited. Nothing else in life seemed to be remotely important apart from getting back not to the kingdom of God, but to the United Kingdom. That was the only thing that mattered to them. They didn't worry about jobs, about money. They didn't worry about clothing. They wanted to get to the kingdom. My friends tonight, do you want to get to the kingdom? Do you want to get to the kingdom of heaven? One of the very good things about the last year and a half is that so much was stripped back. It's now coming back into our lives. But for a time, crudely, rudely, we were awoken. Life stripped back. You, eternity, your God, where do you stand? On that great day of judgment, when you stand before him and the books are opened, you've got nobody to blame, nobody to excuse. You can't say it wasn't my fault, because each of us are responsible for every word we've ever said, every deed we've ever done, every thought we've ever had. And you'll have to give an account. And so will I. Life stripped back as we stand before Almighty God. You know, your Heavenly Father knows all your real needs. Don't worry about them. He clothes the lilies. He knows the number of hairs upon your head. He knows how many days you will live. He knows if you'll have good health or not so good health. And he will provide, just as he provides. The problem is, there's a complete mismatch between what we want and what we focus on, our energies, our time, our worries, and what God says we should focus on. God says, think about the kingdom of heaven. Make your life's first and only priority everything to do with the kingdom of heaven. There's four words I want to speak about in this text. The first is the word seek. Do you know that doesn't come natural? Somebody says to you at home, "Where's my keys?" And you say, "Just go and have a look." "But where did I last put them? Where should I look? I need them now. I can't drive the car. I can't go to school and open my locker. I need them." You're not going to wait. You're going to look and search and search diligently until you find them. You won't leave the house. It's your first priority. Is there something in your life you're searching and seeking for more than the kingdom of heaven? Some people look for a husband. They look for a wife. They want to get married. But my friend, you need the Lord Jesus much more than a husband or a wife. You need Christ, and you need him now in your life. The Lord Jesus is saying to his hearers, you need to seek, search with all your heart, with all your mind. Go on a mission. Don't let the Lord Jesus Christ go until he's blessed you. Go on your knees tonight and plead with him and say, I will not let you go, Lord, until you bless me, until you give me the assurance that I am in the kingdom of heaven. Seeking, seek, seek. Keep on seeking. The Lord never turns a seeker away if you seek him with all your heart. Well, the second word is the word first. Seek ye first. You know, I know there are many tonight listening to this message. I know. Because you've come week after week, year after year. You've heard the message before. You've looked at this verse before. You've heard it before 100 times. But it's not yet your first priority. Something else always gets in the way. You keep waiting. Wait till I finish school. Wait till I get a job. Wait till I get my first home. We've got teenagers here tonight. What are you waiting for? The Lord Jesus says, seek first. Not last, not second. Seek first. Don't wait till you're no longer a teenager. Seek the Lord now. Maybe your 20s. That's when habits start to settle in. Sometimes bad habits. Habits of putting things off until another day. Traps that appear in front of you. Friendships and company and pleasures and pastimes. What about your 30s? Once you get to your 30s, do you know often the course of life is set? People don't often change course in their 30s. The habits, the characteristics have been settled. 40s. We've got some here tonight. You came to the Lord in your 40s. That's when you trusted in Christ, but it doesn't often happen. Seek first, the kingdom of heaven. It's your priority. But then he uses the word kingdom. You see, there's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom where God lives forever, and there's everywhere else. There's not any other kingdom. There's not 3, 4, 5 kingdoms. There is the kingdom where God lives eternally, and there's where we are. And there's the place outside of God's kingdom. You're either with God for eternity or you're away from God. Where will it be for you? Isn't the Lord Jesus kind? He says, seek first my kingdom where I live, where I go to prepare a place for you, where there's many mansions and there's room enough for all who would come and put their trust in him. But there's one more word before we close. Sometimes people forget this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the key word. Because that's our problem. None of us are righteous. No, not one. Not one person tonight can say they've never lied. They've never stolen. They've never had an impure thought. We thought this morning about the rich young ruler. He thought that he was good. But he wasn't. He was covetous. He was idolatrous. He didn't keep the Lord's day. He put things before God. That's the same with us. None of us. It doesn't matter which of the Ten Commandments you think you've kept. What matters is that you've broken them all in God's sight. And you know it deep down. Come, he says, and come first to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the most important word, his, Christ's righteousness. Let me tell you about Christ's righteousness. The Apostle Paul wrote, "The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And he lists awful, awful sins. No idolater, no fornicator, no murderer will enter the kingdom of heaven. And you know, all of us, we've killed. We've killed others' happiness, killed others' peace, killed others' satisfaction. The unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say to those at Corinth, a vile, idolatrous city, he says, "And such were some of you." You were like that. You were idolaters, worshipping, doing horrible things. But you were washed. Your unrighteousness was washed away. And you were given a righteousness that was not your own. It's a given righteousness. That's what we need. I can't earn it. I can't build it up. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, seek his righteousness, Christ's righteousness. If you come tonight and go in prayer and pray the Lord's Prayer on your own, and you say, "Give me a righteousness that I don't have, that I can't buy, that I can't earn, I can't add to," the Lord will give it to you. In your overdrawn bank account of your soul, he'll wipe out your debt and he'll come and place a fortune in your bank account. And when Christ looks at your life, he'll say, "Righteous, perfect." That person, it's as though they've lived a life full of goodness, full of perfect righteousness. That's what he will give to each one that seeks first the kingdom of heaven. Oh, my friends tonight, what's your priority? What are you wasting your life with? I don't speak disparagingly. There's important things to do. We have to look after relatives who are sick. We have to be concerned for our neighbors. We have to earn a living. But what's your priority? Make it your first priority tonight. Your second priority. Your third priority. Make it the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If there's someone here tonight putting off, delaying, excusing that word, may it stand in your mind this week. First, first, first. My priority as I go to work, as I get on the train, as I open my books at school, seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing else matters on the day of judgment than that I'm clothed in his righteousness, his perfect righteousness that's given to me. Oh, such were some of you, but ye are washed, and you're clothed in his righteousness. Yield your life to him tonight. Turn away from any other priority. Repent of your sin. Come earnestly. The word first means don't wait. Don't leave it for another day. Never say another day will do for Jesus. Come to him. Confess your sin, and you will find him to be the only Savior. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we hear the tender words of Christ spoken on that mountain to thousands, read and reread by millions. And we would hear that word tonight. May we make it our first priority. May we find a quiet place and go to Christ and seek his righteousness, that he will give to all who call out and ask by faith and repent of their sin. Or may there be many tonight that feel their need and make it their first priority to seek the kingdom of heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.